Well, hey friends, thanks for joining us today. My name is Clay Munkus, and I am the lead pastor here at Next Level Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And today is day 21 of our 21-day fast, right? You just have to finish out today. But if you come this far, I don't think you're going to quit now, right? So congratulations on making it through what is a major accomplishment. It may be the biggest accomplishment you've ever done spiritually. And we'd love to hear about your experience. So if you don't mind sharing it with us, you can head over to our website, and you can remain anonymous. You don't have to put your name if you don't want to. But if you go to our events page, nextlevelchurch.org/events, on that page, you'll see a button that leads to a form where you can tell us all about your fasting experience. You can share your struggles along with your victories, right? We want to hear all the stories. So please, don't hold back telling us what you have experienced and or what you learned as you went through this process. And you have my permission tomorrow morning to wake up and go grab a giant breakfast. After all, that's what the word actually means, breaking your fast. So again, congratulations, man. If you made it, I am so very proud of you. Well, today we're wrapping up our series called I'll Do It Tomorrow, where we're talking about one of the things that we seem to put off, right? I'll do it tomorrow. And that thing is change. And if you missed any of the messages here, you can watch them all. Again, on our webpage, same place where you're going to with the events. If you go to our webpage and then click on the On Demand tab, you can get down and catch up on all these messages. Well, today as we wrap up, the last thing that I want to look at is something that I think all of us should work on changing this year. And it's this here, self-awareness. Right? Self-awareness. And so let me begin by asking you a question. I know sometimes I start with funny questions, but this is kind of a serious question. Actually, I think it's probably one of the most important questions. Do you like who you're becoming? Do you like who you're becoming? Like as a man, as a woman, as a mom, as a dad, a husband, wife, a friend, an employee, as a follower of Jesus, do you like who you're becoming? If not, we're going to talk about this today, all right? Because I think awareness, specifically self-awareness, is probably one of the more difficult things that we can do in life to help us become who we want to become. And by nature, the definition of self-awareness, nobody actually thinks that they struggle with self-awareness or they'd be self-aware, right? It's really easy when you're listening to a message, and I get this, you're listening to a message like this, it's going to be really easy for you, for your mind to drift to, you know what, I'm so lucky that I'm aware. I'm so lucky that I don't deal with areas where I'm denying things in my life, right? It's easy to drift to, man, I wish so-and-so were here today. I wish so-and-so could hear this message. So can we just all say on the front end that we're not going to do this? All right, let's all agree that this message is about you and this message is about me. And we're not going to think about so-and-so or this person or that person. We wish that they could hear this message. Not right now. Instead, we're going to focus on this reality that every single human being struggles with certain layers of this self-awareness in their life. And how this typically happens is that we tend to get distracted with all kinds of things that keep us from being self-aware about some of the more important issues in our life. So let me give you a picture of something. You ever been somewhere with somebody and they had this thing in their teeth, right? And maybe you didn't know them all that well, so you were afraid to say anything. And so they just keep talking and you're trying to not focus on that thing that's stuck in their teeth, but you just can't help it because it just sucks you in, okay? Colgate did this series of ads, and in every one of them, somebody has something stuck in their teeth. And you can't help but just stare at it, right? It doesn't matter how good looking this couple is or the people in it, there's something in their teeth and you just focus in on it. Now, the whole point of this, and it was a series of ads, if you go and look at them, the whole point was that in every single picture, there's actually something way more wrong than something being stuck in somebody's teeth. So let me just show you one of the ads that Colgate put out, and it's this one. So you got this guy and this girl here, and I mean, how do you not notice the junk that's in the dude's teeth, right? I mean, that's nasty. Like, why didn't she tell him something was wrong? But look closer. What's up with the extra arm, right? It's not what you noticed first, especially if I hadn't told you there was something else wrong, you probably wouldn't even notice it. And I think what they were saying with this ad is that something small can really distract you from some bigger things. And I think the reality is that when it comes to self-awareness, often we have something that's distracting us that's really keeping us from looking at some really important things in our life. And I think this is challenging because there's lots of things in our culture today that can distract us from self-awareness. Pride. Pride's one of them, right? Or ego. Pain avoidance can certainly be something that distracts you from being honest about some of the things that are going on in your life. So let me tell you what I think, though, by far is the greatest enemy of awareness in our culture today. And that would be hurry. Hurry is the greatest enemy of self-awareness. Hurry, I think, is what keeps us from really being self-aware. It's a massive problem in our culture. So I really want us as a community to make sure that we're really thinking about the pace of our lives. And I'm going to give you three things today that I think will help you become a more self-aware person, right? And here is the first one, and it's related to what we just talked about. Slow down to increase awareness. Slow down to increase awareness. So here's a question I want you to answer. How fast is your life right now? How fast is your life right now? And since we know that a lot of us are not nearly as self-aware as we think we are, you might have to ask the person sitting next to you to actually fill this out for you to say, how fast is my life right now? Would you describe it as resting, limping, walking, right? How fast? Are you running, racing? Is it supersonic, right? When you think about the past 2 weeks, or even better, the past 2 months, what word sums up your pace of life? Because my guess is for a bunch of you, it's pretty fast, isn't it? See, in our culture, busyness has become this badge of honor. When in reality, I think it should actually be a sign that a lot of us are trying to avoid something that's really important that we need to be looking at in our life. And many of us, we use this kind of super connected, super fast, you know, completely fast pace of life to completely ignore some of the more important things that I think God really wants us to pay attention to. And I'm not talking about just being busy. Most of us, we're going to be busy. Some of you are in a season of life where you just have no choice but to be busy. But there is a difference between being busy and being hurried. There's a big difference between busy and hurried, right? Now, I don't know if you would agree with that, but John Ortberg, in his book, great book called Soul Keeping, talks about the distinguishment between busy and hurried. And what he says is this: busy is having a full schedule, but hurried means you're preoccupied, right? Busy is a whole lot of activities. Hurried is unable to be fully present, right? You're not here with us. You're on your phone, or you're lost in your thoughts, like stuff like that. Busy, he says, is an outward condition. Hurried is an inner condition of the soul. Busy is physically demanding, but hurried is spiritually draining. Now think about this. You know, how many of you feel spiritually drained? You just feel like, oh my gosh, my spiritual life is just kind of dried up. Well, that's related to hurry. Busy, he says, reminds me that I need God. Hurried tells me that I am unavailable to God. All right? You start to see the distinction. There's a big difference between both of those things. And you cannot live a self-aware life and have a hurried soul. This is why Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, he says this: I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And a couple of things I want to point out in here that he's saying. First, he says, I have learned. Well, what does that mean? This means that it's not natural for most of us. Most of you are not by nature a content person. By nature, you want things to be different. By nature, you want things to be better. You want them to be different than the way they are now. And this is the reality for almost all, if not all, of mankind. He says, I have learned. In other words, it's a process. This is something we have to teach ourselves and remind ourselves. I have learned, he says, to be content. Now, this concept, this word, this idea, content, it's kind of almost become a bad word in our culture because we think all the things that go into being content is just laziness. And he's not talking about being lazy here. He's not saying being lazy at all. He's not saying settle for mediocrity. He's not saying, you know, allow injustice to happen around you. That is not what he's saying here. What he's saying is learn to be content. He's talking about this state, a state of peacefulness that you can have in your heart regardless of the circumstances that are going on around you. It doesn't mean that you don't want circumstances to change, okay? You might. But even if they don't change, you can be content. You can be okay. There is a peace about the way that they are. Again, we go back to this idea, do you have contentment in your life? If you don't have contentment in your life, you're always going to be rushing. You're always going to be hurried and running to this thing and that thing. And being hurried in life, okay, I want you to hear me here, it's not a scheduling problem. Being hurried in life is a heart problem. In other words, slowing down starts with your heart, not your schedule. Slowing down will start with your heart, not your schedule. This is why sometimes you'll hear a message, you know, about hurry or rushing, or maybe someone in your life tells you, hey, you need to get a grip. You need to get things under control. Your pace is way too fast. And you start thinking, well, yeah, okay, you're right. And that's good. And you go in your calendar and you start rearranging a few things in your calendar. And for the next couple of weeks, you kind of slow your pace of how you go through your week. And then 3 weeks later, you're right back to the same patterns you were in before. Because this isn't a scheduling issue. You change your schedule, and it didn't actually change things because it is a heart issue. We've got to start with our heart. We have to start with contentment. I don't need to add all these other things. I am content with where I am. And again, if we want to live a more self-aware life, we have to start with slowing down. Slow down to increase awareness. The second thing that I would say is acknowledge your past isn't your past if it's still impacting your present. Your past isn't your past if it's still impacting your present. I believe one of the biggest things that's keeping us from living out a desirable future is an unforgettable past. You ever ask yourself, why do I keep making the same mistakes over and over? You know, why is it that every year, at the beginning of the year, I make all these New Year's resolutions, and 6 weeks into it, they're all busted, right? And then you roll around to the next January, and you make the same series of commitments, only to repeat the same things and to begin to fail again. I think often the reason for this is you haven't dealt with your past. It's going to continue to impact everything that you touch if you don't deal with it. If you don't find ways to deal with and learn from your past, you're almost always doomed to repeat it. Awareness of our past, that doesn't come easy, right? What comes easy is denial. What comes easy is being real quick to bury any emotions or pain or hurt or guilt or shame. That is easy. Then to complicate matters even further, let me talk to those of you who grew up in a church culture. I did. I don't know if you did, but I did. In church culture, it's a real challenge when it comes to living out what I'm talking about, an authentic life. Because there's this pervasive attitude inside the church, if we're honest, that has taught us that once you become a Christian, you have to have, at very least, you got to pretend like you have it all together. Right? This has happened in some subtle and some not so subtle ways inside the church. But we've all learned to play this game of pretending that we have it all together. And it looks like the people get rewarded. The ones who get rewarded are the ones who are acting like nothing's wrong in their life. So someone at church, they come up to you and they ask you, hey, how are you doing? Right? Your learned response is to say, well, I'm good. Because what gets rewarded is I'm good. You know, that's like a spiritual thing to be good when you follow Jesus. So how are you? Oh, I'm good, right? And you say that so many times that you actually start to believe it. But a bunch of you know that you're not good, right? You're not good at all. You're hurting. You're lonely. You're confused. You're frightened. But you hide, right? You learned to do that. And it's reinforced, sadly, it's reinforced inside church. And I don't know why we do this. I don't know exactly where it all started, but we hide from our past. And maybe the reason we hide inside the church is because we're afraid that if we're honest about our brokenness, if we're honest about our shame, if we're honest about our guilt, if we're honest about our pain and our hurt, that somehow that discounts our salvation experience. Because again, what's being reinforced is if you're a Christian, you should be above and beyond hurt and pain and shame and guilt. And again, I don't know exactly where all this started, although I think it probably originated with fear. And in the church, we don't want people to share their brokenness. right? We don't want people to share their struggles and their hurts and their pain because maybe we're afraid that they don't have all the answers, right? So we've unintentionally communicated, hey, just show up, serve, bring your Bible, and if you're married, you better hold hands when you come in, right? If you fought on the way to church, we don't want to hear about it. If you got hurt or pain, let's just not bring that up. Can we all just be okay? And again, I don't know where all that started, and I don't have a clue as to how it's going to end, but I do know this. Salvation and becoming a follower of Jesus does not mean that you don't have brokenness. It doesn't. You're still going to have brokenness. You're still going to have hurt. You're still going to have pain. You're going to have shame. You're going to have guilt. Those things are still going to be kind of stirring around in your life. And the reality is now, as a follower of Christ, I have a place to take that. But we've got to find a way for the church to celebrate people's humility and their honesty and their struggles and their pain when they're in, not just when they're in the middle of it. You know, not just when they get over it. We want to be able to celebrate, hey, you can admit that here. This is a safe place to admit that. One of the strengths of AA is the simple confession. Hi, my name is blank, and I'm an alcoholic. All right? That's the simple kind of confession that's made. There's all kinds of darkness that's trying to keep that person from making that statement and dragging whatever they struggle with out of the dark and into the light, because everybody in that room is struggling with the same thing. And you know what happens? Everybody celebrates that simple confession. Everybody in that room, they know what's at stake. The church has a lot that we can learn from that, because unfortunately in the church today, that kind of confession, that kind of honesty, that kind of humility is kind of completely optional. We've made it possible in the church that you can continue to hide and pretend like you have it all together. I just want you to know that at Next Level Church, it's okay to not be okay. And just like in AA, we don't want you to stay that way either. We want to encourage you. Again, if you're someone that says, you know what, I know I need to be more self-aware, it starts with slowing down. And because the more you slow down, the more it's going to increase that awareness. And then it starts by acknowledging that there's some things in your past, right? And your past is not actually your past if it's still impacting your future. That's why I get really excited about talking about this topic. It's because of this third thing right here. We believe that God can redeem it all. Believe that God can redeem it all. It's not just enough to slow down and become more self-aware. It's not just enough to acknowledge that there's part of your past, right? You got some things that are going on that's impacting your present. You need to get to a place of believing, trusting in the fact that God can take every bit of that and he can redeem it. One of my favorite stories in Scripture is the story of Joseph. Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, if you want to call it that. Right? This is a young man. He's the youngest of 12. He spent a good deal of his life wanting the acceptance and the love of his older brothers. And we're told in Scripture that their father favors Joseph over all his brothers. So they kind of get really jealous. And one day they beat him up, they throw him in a pit, and they actually sell him into slavery. Now, just for a second, think about Joseph, right? You've been beat up by your brothers, and now you're in a pit looking up at your older brothers who are, you spent your whole life trying to get their attention and get their acceptance, and you're listening to them now debate about what they're going to do to get rid of you. And then your brothers pull you out of the pit, and they sell you to some slave traders. And this sets him on a trajectory that for years he has broken dreams, right? As a slave, he starts to do well, only to get falsely accused of rape by his boss's wife. Then he goes to prison. And in prison, things start to go pretty well for him. Finds favor in the eyes of the prison warden, we're told. And then he gets forgotten about in prison. And he has to spend extra years in prison, even though he didn't deserve to be there. Well, if you know the story, eventually he rises out of prison and becomes second in command over all of Egypt. And there's this famine. And he is a brilliant leader. And so he develops this strategy that allowed Egypt to not just survive, but thrive during the famine. And everywhere else, people are starving to death. So they would come to Egypt because Egypt, under Joseph, had done such a great job in planning for this famine. So one day, his brothers, who he hasn't seen in decades, they show up to get food. And they're standing in front of their brother Joseph, but they don't recognize him, right? It's been a long time. It's been so long, and they think he's dead by now. But they're standing in front of him requesting food. And there's a whole set of weird circumstances that have happened. But he gets the opportunity to speak to his brothers. And I think this is one of the most powerful moments in all of Scripture. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, this is what he says to them. The brothers who hurt him, sold him into slavery, put his life on a bad trajectory. This is what he says. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Right? This is a powerful moment. It's like, hey, you intended to harm me, but God had a different plan. And I don't know where you're at, but maybe someone has hurt you. And whether it was intentional or not intentional, but even intentional or not, it just doesn't matter. But you're at this place in this life where you're having a really hard time getting over it, right? I just want to say to you, maybe they did intend to harm you, but it is possible that God can take that hurt from your past, and he can redeem it and actually use it for something positive in this world. All right, I love that phrase that he says there, but God. That phrase shows up dozens of times in the Old and the New Testament. And almost every time that it shows up, it is always this fantastically good news. It's always this line of demarcation between darkness and light, between hurt and healing, peril and rescue. Look at Psalms chapter 73, 26. It says, my health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, right? That, maybe some of you feel that way right now. But God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. But God. Matthew 19, 26. Jesus is saying, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Acts chapter 13, verse 29 and 30. When they had done all the prophecies said about them, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. We have a God who specializes in resurrections, right? He specializes in taking hopeless situations and breathing hope into every single one of them. And maybe you've been through a world of hurt. And maybe there are questions that you're never going to get answered on this side of heaven. But maybe, just maybe, God can take some of that pain and some of that hurt from your past, and he can actually use it to do some good. Like, I am relentlessly committed to the idea that anything's possible, right? Anything is possible. Sure, you've got some hurt, you got some pain, you got shame, you got guilt, right? There's some things that you've brought on and caused in your own life. There have been some things that have been done to you in life that have caused more hurt and more pain and guilt. I still believe with everything that's in me, anything's possible with God. I believe that transformation is possible. I believe that healing is possible. I believe God can use anyone. There's no brokenness that is too broken for God. Now, there may be a group of you, and you're watching this, and you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, right? Maybe you've been confused. Maybe you thought Christianity was all about being God, but it's not about what you do. This is about what Jesus has done for you. And if you've never started a relationship with Jesus, I would love to invite you to do just that. We don't want to embarrass you at all. I don't want to manipulate you. I'm not trying to twist your arm. But if you're here today and you're like, you know what, I need a fresh start. I need a but God moment. I need the grace of Jesus, right? I need to trust him. I need him to take away my shame and my guilt. If you'd like to do that for the very first time today, I'd just love to lead you in a simple prayer, right? Just wherever you're at, sitting where you're at, you can say something like this. If you're ready to open up your life to Jesus and receive the forgiveness that's there, just say something like this. Hey, dear God, with as much as I understand, and maybe that's a little bit, but as much as I understand in this moment, I want to ask for the forgiveness of my sins. I understand this isn't about my works. This is about your grace. I believe in my heart that what Jesus did is enough for me. Now, if you prayed that in any kind of version, here's what I want you to know. You can't do this spiritual life on your own. You need Jesus, but in order to know all about him, you need other believers around you too. And when you go through the ups and the downs of faith, you need other people in your life. So I would encourage you to surround yourself with some believers. If you have to, be here at Next Level as often as you can. Join a connect group. Get on a serve team. Just get around other believers. You're going to need that. Now, there's another group of us that are gathered here today, and that's those of us who at some point in our life, we've already made a decision to follow Jesus. But if we're honest, we're not fine. We're not fine at all. We've got a lot of hurt. We got pain. We got guilt. We got shame. And there's still a lot of brokenness that's in our life, and it's led to some guilt because we feel like we're a Christian. We should be above all of these things. But the reality is the Bible never teaches that. We live in a broken world full of a lot of broken hurt and pain. And my encouragement to you today is that you just be honest about your hurt. Be honest about your pain, that whatever it is that you're going through, that you understand you're in a safe place here at Next Level, and it's going to be okay to not be okay. All right, we have to find ways as a church to celebrate that kind of confession, that kind of humility, that find ways as a community to come alongside of one another, stop pointing fingers, stop judging, stop having these expectations that everybody should be at the same place spiritually at the exact same time. Would you join me in doing that? Hey, let's pray for each other here. God, right now, I just pray that you give us the grace as a community to grow, to mature, to figure out that we don't have it all figured out. God, give us the grace that we need to extend to one another when we struggle. God, give us the faith that we can continue to point people towards hope when it seems hopeless. God, I pray that maybe there will be some people in this room listening to this message today that have the courage to admit that they're not okay, that they'll get the counseling that they need, that they'll get the help that they need from their life group, that they'll reach out to one of us, their pastor. But in their heart, they'll say, look, no more hiding, no more hiding. God, I pray that they'll reach out for the grace, the love, the mercy that I know you'll give and extend to them. God, we love you, and we're thankful for what you're doing in the lives of the people around us. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us today. If you think today's message might be valuable to somebody you know, would you mind sharing this video? Not only could it be helpful for them, but by sharing this content as well as liking and subscribing to this channel, you're helping us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And another way to help us, and this is a big help to us, could I ask you to head over to our website, nextlevelchurch.org/give, or just go to the website, click the Give button that's there. Once you're there, just choose one of those giving options. We've got some great plans for 2022, but we need your faithful support in order to implement those plans to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Now, by way of benediction, I want to reread to you that verse where Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Humanly speaking, he says, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. May you this week, as you try and face the impossible, may be encouraged that no matter what you have going on in your life, nothing is impossible for your God. Guys, have a blessed week. We're going to see you every day on our Instagram channels. I'm praying for you. I love you. Those of you that are finishing up your fast, hang in there. We're coming to the close. I'm really proud of you. We'll see you back next week as we start a new series.